Assalamu alaikum. Brothers and sisters, that was the son of our beloved leader and teacher, who is the minister of Muhammad's Temple of Islam in Philadelphia, and who is also a graduate and a product of the Temple of the University of Islam set up in Chicago by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Arabic that he was speaking is that which he learned at the University of Islam in Chicago. The message that he was giving us and the explanations he was giving us on religion is that which he learned from his father, the most honorable and humble Elijah Muhammad. And you and I can be forever thankful to Allah for giving us a black man who is bold enough. I say black man because there's enough white men who have been around here and haven't done anything for us yet. So you... So we can thank Allah for giving us a black man who's bold enough and wise enough to stand here in America today and do for us the things that are necessary. And at this time, brothers and sisters, I have a very important announcement to make, which I regret deeply, but to make it, I think we'll call Brother Captain Sharif, Raymond Sharif of Chicago, who came in today by airplane, who has a very, very important announcement for you and me. Brother Captain Sharif.
As-salamu alaykum. In the most holy name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, to whom all praise is due. And in the name of His servant, the only true leader and teacher that 17 million black men and women in the hills of North America have ever had, in their name, my dear brothers and sisters, I am happy to be here with you today, seeing cells of North America have ever had. In their name, my dear brothers and sisters, I am happy to be here with you today, seeing such a gathering here almost renders me speechless, because I bring you not such good news, because you came out here with high expectations of seeing and hearing our beloved leader and teacher, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. But brothers and sisters, I regret to have to tell you that the honorable Elijah Muhammad will not be with us today. Not that he did not want to come, but our beloved leader and teacher is not physically able to keep this engagement today. He is so overworked and pressed with different problems, and his physical condition is not what it was when he was 20 years old. Therefore, I hope you understand and realize that he have to be careful, because he is planning also in a few weeks a tour of the East. Yes, sir. And there are certain preparations that he has to make. Therefore, brothers and sisters, he will not be present today, but I know that you are happy, you should be, because he is with you whether he's present or not. Even though he was not here in person, he had his representatives here. You just finished listening to him. His son, Minister Wallace D. Muhammad.
That's right.
So brothers and sisters, keep up your high spirits and carry on as though the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in your midst. And I shall not detain you any longer. I shall turn you back into the hands of Brother Minister, because he has a message for you also from the Messenger of Allah. So at this time, I shall turn you back into his hands, as I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Brother, salam alaikum. Brothers and sisters, please wait just a few moments before you leave. We would like to tell you something during the next 20 minutes that we think you should, each and every one of you should know. As you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the most heavily burdened black man in America today. And he has a more crowded schedule than many of you will probably ever realize. He's due to be in Pittsburgh on the 30th and right here in Newark on the 6th. He works 20 hours out of every day in the week. And all of his work is designed to bring black people in America together. But despite that fact, he is over 60 years old. And for near 30 years now, he has been working in America trying to get the fear of the white man out of black people. And whenever you try and get black people to stop fearing white people, you got a hard job on your hands. So please keep your seat just for a few moments. Be polite, even if you don't want to be intelligent. I'm from Harlem, so I don't know how to talk to you, but in any other language but Harlem talk. Now, as you know, we knew that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was working hard and that he was under pressure from all sides, because he's under pressure not as much from the white man as he is from some of these poor, ignorant, fear-filled, dumb Negroes. Is that right or wrong? So he told me today to come and tell you that which he would have told you if he could be here. Yesterday I went to Chicago and pleaded with the messenger not to come. Why? Because during the past year, he probably has been working harder than any black man in America. And just 2 weeks ago, he was in Harlem. And at that time, all of you came out. And your reaction and your response was sufficient proof that you understand. You know what's happening. And you understand what's happening. And since he gave you such a good understanding 2 weeks ago, after thinking about it, we thought it would be cruel to him to ask him to come right back here and give you the same thing all over again. You know your condition. You know who put you in that condition. You know what you haven't got, and you know why you don't have it. You know who it is that's depriving you of it. Now, a man doesn't have to keep coming from Chicago week after week to tell you that someone is giving you hell and you're catching hell on every corner. Understand. Here is the only black man bold enough today to stand up here in America, put his own freedom at stake, put his life at stake, right in the lion's jaw, and despite all odds or all consequences, he will yet tell you what it is that's ailing you. Now, despite the good work that he's doing, different factions, forces are at work to try and keep him from opening your eyes, to try and keep him from getting the fear out of your heart, to try and keep him from letting you know who it is that's responsible for your condition. But if he could have come here today, he would have told you that it's the white man. Please, many of you don't want to hear that kind of talk. But when, as Minister Wallace Muhammad pointed out so beautifully, when Moses stepped into the house of bondage and told the slave master 4,000 years ago that your time is up, God is on your trail, and he's on your trail because of what you have done to his people, many of Moses' people were afraid of what Moses was saying. And Pharaoh himself could not cope with what Moses was saying. So he got magicians together to work magic and try and confuse the issue. Just as today, these same modern-day magicians are working with the modern-day slave master to try and confuse what the modern-day Moses is telling to these poor modern-day slaves. Please understand, all praise is due to Allah. When Moses came to free his people from their slave master, they accused Moses of teaching hate. They accused Moses of saying that his people were better, were supreme. They accused Moses of teaching supremacy. When Jesus came along, when he began to try and teach the lost sheep who had been catching hell from the slave master, they accused Jesus of being against the slave master. They accused him of being against the government. They accuse him of teaching sedition. Now, is that right or wrong? Never has a man ever come forth to help downtrodden people, enslaved people, without that man running up against a great deal of opposition. Do you understand? Now, a true man can't take opposition. Or rather, a true man will stand against opposition, but a false man can't.
A false prophet can't stand persecution. A false prophet can't stand prosecution. A false prophet can't stand any kind of giving up at all. But a real prophet, no odds, no opposition is too great for him to go up against. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is facing, in trying to free the mind of the so-called Negro from the clutches of the white man here in America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is facing more opposition than Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, and Marcus Garvey combined. Do you understand? Just as they accused Moses of teaching hate and accused Jesus of teaching hate, they accused Marcus Garvey of teaching hate. Is that right or wrong? Marcus Garvey was another bold and brave and wise black man who came to America to try and unite the black people of America to get these white people off our back. And they were afraid of him. The white man was afraid of him. The white man feared him because of his ability to unite black people. And the white man forever fears the ability in a black man to unite black people. Do you understand? He couldn't cope with Marcus Garvey, so he got stool pigeons. He got Uncle Tom. He got handkerchief head. Negro preachers and politicians to infiltrate the movement. Understand. Only just a couple more words and you can go. I just want to tell you something. The white man never defeated Marcus Garvey. He got black stool pigeons, black Uncle Toms, who posing as educators, posing as preachers, posing as spokesmen for Negroes to infiltrate and get in and create dissension and division, and then accuse the man of doing that which he didn't do. Now, is that right or wrong? They did it to Moses. They did it to Jesus. They've done it to every prophet, every true prophet who ever came forth to do the work of God. And here in North America today, black people are in worse condition than they were during the days of Moses. They're in worse condition than they were when Jesus was looking for the lost sheep. They're in worse condition than the lost Hebrews were in the land of Babylon. Is that right or wrong? I mean, you're in bad shape. Now, if you're in such bad shape, you're going to need a prophet today greater than Moses, and one greater than Jesus, greater than Daniel, and greater than all of the other prophets combined. And we have one in America today who does not say he's a prophet, but he does say he's a messenger from God. And I'm here today to tell you that if you listen to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you'll be free from the yoke of this white man overnight. Please, all praise is due to Allah. Would you be patient just long enough for a sister to read to you Mr. Muhammad's answer to all of these combinations of devils who have been accusing him of teaching hate? Sister, come up here just one moment. Just take a minute. Here you've been 400 years catching hell. The white man has made it hot for you in the street, at home, up yonder, down yonder, and you shouldn't mind a little of this heat just a few minutes more. Please sit long enough to listen to the answer that Mr. Muhammad gave in the Los Angeles Herald Dispatch, a black newspaper, to the attacks by the white people here in America and black people who are accusing him of teaching hate. Sister Hortense.
In the name of Allah, the all-wise, true, and living God, to whom we forever praise and thanks for giving to us in this day and time a leader, a teacher, and a perfect example in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I know we're all disappointed that our beloved leader and teacher won't be with us today. As you know, it was his intention when he was here 2 weeks ago to present to the black man and woman in Harlem his economic and economical program. But he didn't do so because he had to take the time to answer the charges of hate which had been placed against him by people who are in opposition to everything that he is doing. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is a wise man. And being a wise man, he knows that the pen is mightier than the sword. So that he wouldn't have to take your time today to defend war charges, he picked up the pen to write in the newspapers his answers to those charges which were placed against him. And I will read now from one of the papers that he wrote in. Speaking said, "I have never taught anyone to hate. For the past few weeks, the newspapers, radio, magazines, some police departments, the big Negro church leaders, and a few ignorant Muslims who know not Allah, nor the devil, nor do they understand the scriptures of the Bible and the Holy Quran, have been working together to keep the poor, blind, deaf, and dumb of my people from accepting the truth. After it has come to them by calling the truth of God, which I teach, hate teaching. Their intentions are to put fear into my poor people, who are born in fear of the white race, the devil, without telling them what they classify as hate teaching. They also want you to think that it is a crime for me to teach black supremacy, while the teaching of white supremacy has been their text and teaching and hate for us ever since they have been placed on the planet Earth. This is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad still speaking.
Yes.
Now, the truth of them, Allah is now revealing to us. And they, the devils, know how easy it is to frighten our people. They know that once the Negroes learn that they are the real devils, naturally they would not have love for them. Therefore, they call the truth teaching hate teachings against the white race. The devil does not like the truth. Hate means dislike. Can the righteous like the devils, or can the devils like the righteous? There is not one so-called Negro in America who does not know that white people hate Negroes. Now, I might add, if there is anyone here who doesn't know it, before you leave today, you will know it. Let the coward Negro preachers who fear and worship the white race as they should Allah God answer this. Was it love or hate for the Negroes that made the white race make our fathers slaves and still have us as free slaves? Is it love or hate for us why they do not give us equal justice, equal chance, equal education, and equal respect? Is it love or hate why they beat, rape, and lynch us? Is it love or hate that they do not give us, their 400-year-old slaves, any part of America which we can call our own? Is it love or hate that they do not want you in their schools and societies? Of course, we the Muslims like to have our own. Truth cannot be classified as hate teaching. The white man of America has always feared the truth coming to the so-called Negroes. But it has arrived. And your fighting against it will only spread it more. For Allah himself is actually the one spreading it. You who make mockery of me and the message of life which I am giving to my people, but you shall soon come to know. The devils are taking my words and twisting them with lies to make my people afraid to come near me. But if it pleases Allah, he will make my people understand the truth and bring their lies to naught against me. The devil and their followers would like for you to believe that I am a self-styled leader of a cult, self-named Muhammad, and that my real and legal name is Elijah Poole. Poole is illegal. Muhammad is my legal name. They know that every Negro who is called by the devil's name will never be recognized as a righteous Muslim in heaven or in hell. Yeah. They know that the name Muhammad will live as long as God lives.
That's right.
They further know that their names are not attributes of Allah, God, for their names will be cut off, and the names of Allah, God, will live forever. They, the devils, also know that Islam is the true religion of Allah, and that God will make it overcome and vanish all other religions. And this is the time that it is taking place. I try to make you think that it is a crime to teach that the black man is the first and the last, and will rule the earth after them, which they know is the truth, and you will also know it to be the truth. They would like to make you think that the old Islamic world is against me. What if it is? Was I missioned by them, or by the Imam of Shah, Jihan of Woking, England, or any other than Allah, God?
Yes.
No, my mission is from Allah, and He is sufficient enough for me.
Right.
He will make a new world of Islam, and you will be made to bow to it.
Yes. Right.
So, fight against me. Allah is my helper against you.
Right.
Hurry, join on to your own kind. The time of this world is at hand.
Yes.
Beloved brothers and sisters, those were the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and at this time I will return you into the hands of our host minister, Minister Malcolm X from Temple No. 7, as I greet you in the name of Allah, the all-wise, true, and living God, to whom we forever praise for giving to us our beloved leader and teacher, whether he's with us or not, in the person of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as I greet you, assalamu alaikum.
Brothers and sisters, that was Sister Hortense reading the answer of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to those who accuse him of teaching hate. And our beloved leader and teacher asked me today to please tell you that his aim here in America is not the teaching of hate, but to get food, clothing, and shelter for the so-called Negroes, and to give us freedom, knowledge, to give us freedom, justice, and equality. And the only way that this can be brought about is by you and me coming together in unity as soon as it is possible. Many of you may not know it, but no one is more sorely in need of housing and better housing than the so-called Negroes, and especially those of us who are here in Harlem. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has a program that will bring about a change in these conditions for us. As I said, in a moment, we're going to let you go. I hope that you'll be kind enough to be patient and be seated for just a little while longer. I know, and I don't blame any of you for wanting to leave when you know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is not here, and I thank you for being kind enough today to come out knowing, thinking that he would be here. It shows the white man that despite the propaganda he has turned loose here in Harlem, that he's not making you afraid. And the main reason for all of this that you read today against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is to strike fear in your heart. They want you to think that the man is about to round us up, that the man is about to put us in concentration camps. If you're a black man and you were born in America, you were born in a concentration camp. Yes, I will. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has also taught us, he's being accused right now of being responsible for the unrest that's in Harlem. Now, as people of Harlem, I would like to know, is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching us responsible for the unrest, or is it the police brutality that they're committing every day? Is it the poor housing conditions that we live in? Is it the jobs that we can't find? Is it the discrimination and Jim Crow that we run into right here in New York City? Or is it the Honorable Elijah Muhammad pointing these things out? And rather, the white man would show himself more intelligent. Instead of accusing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad of stirring up unrest, he should do something to change the miserable condition that we have to live under. And this shows you, if he is not a devil, then he's the closest thing to one that you'll ever find. Do you understand? Please understand. Anytime a man has robbed you deaf, dumb, and blind, deprived you of civil rights, deprived you of everything that a man is supposed to have,
And then when someone comes along and starts pulling your coat to what's happening, and that robber, that thief, that kidnapper, that liar has got sense enough to point at the one who's pulling your coat as a hate teacher, that man has got to be a pure devil and nothing else. Mr. Muhammad told me to tell you that he's teaching love. He's teaching black people to love each other. And the only way you and I will ever come together and have unity is first to have love of our own kind. Now, he teaches us that we can't have love of our own kind and love of self until we first have a knowledge of ourselves. So his job also is designed to teach us a knowledge of our culture, a knowledge of our past, a knowledge of our achievements, a knowledge of our accomplishments, and a knowledge of our contributions to civilization. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad begins to point out to the black man the greatness of black people, the white man accuses him of teaching black supremacy. The white man taught you and me that George Washington, that Columbus discovered America, George Washington founded, Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death, and Abraham Lincoln was the one who was responsible for the emancipation of the slaves. From the cradle to the grave, you and I are taught to look up at white people. He refers to himself as the great white father. All of the great deeds, he claims that he's the one that did them. Is that right or wrong? Now, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad comes along today and teach you and me that a black man, an African named Hannibal, crossed the Alps and sunk the Italians, and that Muhammad, another black man, set out through Arabia some hundreds of years ago and made the world a righteous world, and that another black man, a man named Moses, went face to face with the slave master 4,000 years ago, and that another black man named Beethoven created some of the best music that exists today, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad begins to point out to you and me the greatness of the black man, since the white man has been pointing out the greatness of the white man, now, and nobody ever accused him of teaching white supremacy, when Mr. Muhammad begins to point out the greatness of the black man, some of your dumb, ignorant, stupid Negro preachers and politicians who are parrots and puppets for the white man accuse Mr. Muhammad of teaching hate. He wants our own kind to come together. He wants our own kind to love each other. He wants our own kind to be in unity with each other. And he teaches us that Almighty God, Allah, has revealed to him that the only thing will give unity and love of self to the black man in America is the religion of Islam. The same religion that Brother Minister Wallace Muhammad has been teaching us so beautifully about today. I'm not teaching you Islam right now. I'm telling you the hell that you call. Brother Minister Wallace Muhammad was teaching Islam to us here when he was here, to give us a knowledge of the religion, the beauty of the religion. But you and I are in such bad shape, brother, we first have got to be pointed out who it is responsible for putting us in the condition that we're in, and then maybe we'll be dissatisfied and try to rectify that condition. Is that right or wrong? If everyone of our own kind, and even white people, should give credit to what Mr. Muhammad is doing. Did you see what Time magazine said? Time magazine was angry because Mr. Muhammad was making Negroes stop being drunkards. Time magazine was angry because Mr. Muhammad is making Negroes give up narcotics. Time magazine is angry because Mr. Muhammad is teaching Negroes to turn toward Mecca and pray five times a day. Time magazine is angry because Mr. Muhammad is teaching our women to dress modestly and not to be cut up or left somewhere alone in a room with a man. Time magazine doesn't like that. Time magazine doesn't like it because Mr. Muhammad is reforming the black man and woman in North America. Do you understand? Time magazine is angry because Mr. Muhammad is able to go into the prison and make convicts straighten up and fly right. You understand? Let's understand. Here the entire church combined, all of the Negro religious leaders and political leaders combined, can't straighten up the black man that's in the street. And they admit that they can't. Some of them can't handle their own children. And now they're getting on Mr. Muhammad because not only is he straightening them up in the street, but he's going behind prison bars and straightening them up back there too. Do you understand? Time magazine said I was an ex-convict. If I hadn't heard Islam, I was a convict before I went to jail. Every black man, woman, and child in North America was born convicted, if you understand. Please understand. Every black man, woman, and child is born in prison. America is a prison house for the black men and women in North America. When you're in prison, the warden tells you what to eat. The warden tells you where to eat. The warden tells you when to sleep. And the warden tells you where to sleep. And the black men and women in North America, your warden is in Washington, D.C. Your warden is in the White House. Let's understand. That man who promised you civil rights, just like the warden promises you, if you be good, you'll get time off for good behavior. There is your warden. And all of you are convicts the same as I am. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad will make you an ex-convict. He'll set you free. And the warden is worried because he knows if all of the prisoners leave his house, he won't have a job anymore. Let's understand. All praise is due to Allah. Please, let's understand. The article in Time magazine actually admits that this black man named Muhammad is the greatest reformer the world has ever known since the beginning of time. Don't you know they put an article in the paper last week that Negroes in Harlem alone spend $60 million for juice, not orange juice, whiskey. Is that right or wrong? $60 million for whiskey. So who benefits from this money that you spend on whiskey? Who gets the $60 million that you spend on whiskey? If you had $60 million, you could build a factory from the Harlem River to the Hudson River and employ every black man in Harlem. Let's understand. The white man knows that if you listen to Mr. Muhammad, the Jew will go broke. The Irishman will go broke. The Italian will go broke. Everyone who's in Harlem robbing you right now will go broke if you listen to Mr. Muhammad, because Mr. Muhammad will reform you so the Italian dope peddler won't have any customer. That Jew merchant won't have any customer. The cop won't have anybody's head to beat, any skulls to crack. Is that right or wrong? Now, this is not hate. For me to point this out to you is not hate when your skull has been cracked by the white man. Is that right or wrong? Just understand. $60 million a year for whiskey. $60 million a year for whiskey. And you have churches all over Harlem. You have preachers all over Harlem. Why don't the preachers get together and find out what they're doing with this $60 million a year that the whiskey merchants are robbing you from, instead of taking time to point the finger at Mr. Muhammad? Why don't the preachers and the politicians attack them? Money is power. Money, M-O-N-E-Y, money is power. When you got some money, you got some voice. But what the white man is doing with you is tricking you out of your money. He does it with cigarettes. He does it with whiskey. He does it with nightclubs. And oh boy, he does it with churches. Churches. Let's understand. Just give me 5 more minutes and you can go. There's a book on sale. Just a moment. Please. All praise is due to Allah. There's a book on sale in Harlem. You can find it at the bookstore there on 125th Street and 7th Avenue, the Mishaw's bookstore. The name of that book is $15 Billion and 15 Million Negroes. Go get it and read it. The book is designed to show that 6 years ago, there were 15 million Negroes in America spent $15 billion a year, more than Canada spent. And on that basis right there, Canada is a nation, has purchasing power, has bridges, has factories, has schools, can employ Canadians, can educate Canadians, can protect Canadians with its Canadian army. Yet 15 million Negroes is 20 million now, and it's $20 billion. $20 billion that is thrown away annually by the 20 million Negroes in America. The Negroes got no bridges, no factories. No schools. You got no highways. You don't even have a path. Yet you throw away $15 billion. You got no no bridges, no factories, no schools. You got no highways. You don't even have a path. Yet you throw away $15 billion a year. Where does it go? Where is that $15 billion? You don't lose $15 billion, brother. Someone got to take it. Someone got to trick you out of it. And it's got to be someone whom you trust most dearly. Is that right or wrong? That man that you trust most dearly, brothers and sisters, is the worst enemy of Mr. Muhammad, because Mr. Muhammad is the only black man in America wise enough and bold enough to show you who it is that's robbing you and helping to rob around you.